on understanding the wiles of the enemy, how to overcome those things. We ignore the fact that he is operating in the lives of even in believers' lives. And what we do is we go on with our lives on a daily basis without ever gaining victory, without ever overcoming the truth of what we're dealing with in this worldly system. I was praying, and I told you the other day, I was praying to the Lord and asked him, what is going on here? And that was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, what's going on in the world today? And he said, fear. Fear is the biggest, if not the predominant, demonic force operating in the world today. Fear will keep people in unbelief. Fear will always cause Christians to back off from the truth and follow a path that leads into oblivion. And if we're not careful, if we're not wise, and we don't see it, even in our own lives, we will submit to that fear rather than submit to the truth. And as he said in the scriptures, truth will set you free. So there's a battle going on for believers. And there's a battle in each one of our lives. But we can overcome it by what? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our life even unto death. In other words, our life is not what it's all about, because that life is in the hands of Almighty God. And I think somebody was saying, I heard the other day, they said, when you try to use your hands, God can't use his hands to work in your life. And so what we do is we try, to the best of our abilities, to live a godly life, to live a victorious life, to live an overcoming life, and we fail miserably. Because we can't do it ourselves. But we can do all things through Christ. Amen? So through Christ, if you have Christ in your life, there isn't anything that you can't accomplish in this life. I don't know about you, but that would bring me great joy. So I asked the Lord, and I said, okay, Lord, how do we overcome this? How do we win the victory here? And he told us through faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these being love. So if you're not operating in love, forget the rest of it, because faith worketh by love. So without love operating in your life, and you operating in the love that God has given to you, because he said when you got born again, he poured out his love into your heart. So you can't say, I can't love. Or you can say it, but you can't say it truthfully. You can love. Amen? And I'm not talking about a love between a husband and wife, although that's part of it, and not love of your children, because even the heathens do that. Even the unsaved love their kids, love their spouses. There is that type of love, but there's an agape love, and a love that's all-encompassing. It gets to you to a place where you can love your enemies. You can pray for those who despitefully use you. You can bless those who curse you. These are the things that you are able to do through the love that God has poured out into your heart that you could not do on your own. Because when people come up against you, what would you do? You would curse them. You would attack them. You'd try to destroy their life. You wanted to make their life more miserable than your own. That's what you do in reality. That's what the natural man wants to do. That's what you see what's going on in the world today. The world is filled with hate, fear, and everybody's trying to get to the other person and destroy them before they feel that they're going to be destroyed. But God has made a way that's different than the rest. God has given you a way that's impossible for natural man to enter into and find in that place a life that is joyful, full of peace, full of strength, full of overcoming power. And when you look at the things around you, they no longer become an obstacle to you. They become a chance, an observation to watch God move in those areas. Hallelujah. So I asked the Lord, how do we overcome it? He took me to Hebrews 3. We're going to start there, and we're going to work in our way through Hebrews 4. And you will hear that part of the message is what I read before the service began in Psalms 95 is part of this message. We'll start, well, let's look at verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. And he's trying to describe there the difference between Moses, who was a servant in the household of God, and Jesus, who was the one who created the house. And he tried to explain, there's one greater than Moses. Even though Moses was great in God's kingdom, God's house, he was a great servant of God, but there's one who was greater, the one who built the house, his name being Jesus. Amen? So understand, the Bible goes on to tell us that we are the house. The whole congregation of the children of God, and this is worldwide, this is not just in this place, but the whole church of Jesus Christ, the true church of Jesus Christ. Just because they say I'm a church doesn't mean they are the church of Jesus Christ. Some of them, even if you go into Revelation, you find that John was writing that they called themselves a child of God, a house of God, but they were a house of Satan. We see it all over the place. Just because they say, I'm saved, doesn't mean they're saved. You know, I'm going to just throw this in here because God gave me this week, and I want to throw it in someplace. So I'm going to throw it in someplace. This is a good place to throw it into. We were talking on Wednesday night at the men's group about knowledge and so on, having intimacy and knowledge. And I was praying about it afterwards. I was thinking about it. And God says to me this. He said, Dave, there's a lot of facts. People have a lot of facts. Very few people have knowledge. No, it's a fact that he is Jesus. Yes, they know that. The fact that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. They know that. That's facts. They know that. And these facts is what they lean on. But they have no knowledge of it. In other words, he said, when you put those facts into operation, that's when you start gaining knowledge of who I really am. You understand what I'm saying? Knowledge is more than just a bunch of facts. It's when you apply those facts and you see the fruit of those facts coming to pass. That's when you have gained knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, not a lack of facts. That's when he said in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied and done all those things in you? Yeah, you've done all those things. You had no knowledge of him. And he said, I have no knowledge of you. Our goal in here, before we get there, is to know him as much as we can. Now, the Bible says we're going to know him as darkly in a mirror. We're going to see we're going to have glimpses of him. We're going to see a little bit. We're not going to see the fullness of him. There will be a day when we'll see him fully and complete. We'll know him as he is. We will see him. Right now, the Spirit of God is bringing a revelation to us of who he is and what he is. And as we operate in that little knowledge, and trust me when I tell you this, just like he said in the scriptures, he said, all that stuff that's written is nothing because there's not enough books in the whole world at that time to contain all the works that he did. We only see a little bit of it. But imagine all the things he did that is not written in here and we have no understanding of and we have no knowledge of. But there's going to come a time when you stand in that place up there, you're going to have full knowledge of who he is and you're going to sit there and wonder. And then you're going to look at the other end, Satan, and you're going to look at him and say, that's the one who bothered the nation. That's the one who caused all this grief. Do you realize that's Satan that's working today in all these countries, in all these leaders? He's working right now. That's why there's so much trouble in the world. You understand that? Yeah, there's the greediness of men and there's the selfishness of men. There's the evil wickedness of the heart. Yes. That was all of us at one time. Amen. It's only by the grace of God we're not numbered with them anymore. But we were. You all lied at one time or other. Not me. Yes, you did. You're not human. That fallen nature was joined together with the father of lies. Well, I never stole. Right. Okay. Praise God for you. Well, I never murdered. Did you ever condemn and curse somebody? It's called murder. You might not have pulled the trigger of a gun, but you pulled the trigger of your mouth and killed them. That's what the Bible says, by the way. I didn't say that. You can hate me all you want, but it's not me. That's why I like the word. I can say things that are true. And in much as you don't want to hear it, you're still going to hear it if you open this thing up, because that's what he's trying to do. He's getting across to us how bad we truly were and how much we needed a Savior. And not only that, he wants you to know the greatness of his grace. We can't contain it. We have not the capacity to contain the grace of God, either mentally or physically or spiritually. It is so great, the world can't contain it. The grace of God goes beyond the world, into the atmosphere, into the cosmos, out there in the moon and the stars. All of it is hanging there by the grace of God. If we ever could, you have that grace. Oh, glory. Amen? Hallelujah. So here he's comparing the two. Praise God. I tell you something, guys. God loves you as much as he loved Moses. And he said to Moses, you're my friend. And he said to the people, I speak to him face to face. How many of you know God wants to speak to you face to face? Amen? How do I know that? Listen to this. We're going down here to verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, okay, the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. You got your ears open? The eyes of your understanding being ready to hear and hear what he's... The Spirit of God is speaking to you. It's coming out of my mouth, but he is speaking to you because I'm speaking his word. Okay? I don't know about you, but I think it's a good thing when the Spirit of God speaks to us. Hallelujah. But don't take it, don't be so bound, you know, get high and mighty with it, because he speaks to everyone. Holy Spirit speaks to everyone out there. Even the unsaved, he's calling them. He's wooing them. He's drawing them. Now, he may use you to speak it, but it's his work working. Ooh. You know how important you are to God? I told you this, I think, last week or the week before or something. How precious you are. How important you are to God. You look at yourself as nothing and not worth of anything. I tell you, if you stop to consider that God himself came to earth, took on the form of a man, and died on the cross for you, for each and every one of us. See, that's facts. Question is, do you have that knowledge of it? So when the enemy comes at you and starts telling you how bad you are, how you know, broken down and miserable you are, unhappy you are, and this you are, and that you are, when you stand up and say, nah, you don't know who I am. I'm a precious child of God. Oh, my Father loves me. You don't know who I am. Because if you knew who I was, you wouldn't mess with me. Because I can take you and kick your butt from here to Timbuktu. You understand? The Bible says if they knew who Jesus was, they wouldn't have crucified him. Do you realize you have the same spirit in you that Christ had in him? He was a man just like us. You understand that? He was a man just like you, like me. And some of you are women, but you know. He was a man, human. What distinguished him from anybody else? I'll tell you, I tell this to people all the time. Number one, he knew where he came from. Amen? He knew where he came from. Number two, he knew where he was going. Number three, he knew who he was. If you know where you came from, and we all came out of that worldly system, if you really truly know where you're going, remember what I told you, preparing for that time coming? If you really knew where you're going, and you know who you are, you wouldn't take anything from this curtain. Nothing. You understand? He gave us a way to overcome every work of the enemy. He said, I've given you power over all the enemy. All of it. Whew. Come on now. Facts, knowledge. Facts, knowledge. Move the knowledge, because we've got the facts now. Let's start operating in the facts that we know. But what if it doesn't work? Already, you missed the mark. Amen? All right. You got the same Spirit in you? The Holy Spirit of God in you? Come on now. You're going to look at yourself differently when you get up in the morning and look in the mirror. Your hair's all a mess. Everything's just sagging a little bit more. No makeup on. You're looking in the mirror. And you go, oh, God. You don't want to look at it? Start looking differently. Start looking differently. Amen? The true beauty's inside, not out here. I was thinking of this as when I come in, and I'm thinking of all the, you know, we lift up all these, I don't want to name names. Keep my mouth shut. We got all these movie stars. We got all these people. There's a people out there who have no talent whatsoever, except they look good, and they got what the people call a good body, and they're making millions of dollars of doing nothing. Because the world is captivated by the outward beauty. I don't even think it's beauty, but the outward beauty of these people. Those people that are, praise God, I got to keep my mouth shut. You understand? The true beauty comes from within. And there's very few people who are beautiful out west. I'm telling you, I don't care. They got a mask on. They got a burqa on. And I'm not talking about Muslims. They've covered themselves up with all kinds of makeup and junk, lies and deceptions. And even in the church is taking it in. And we get all exalted when one of them gets saved. Why? They bring him into the church. Oh, look, he was this, but he's a movie star and he's saved too. Who cares? Who cares? God doesn't give a hoot what they were, except they were sinners lost on their way to hell. And finally, somehow, by the grace of God, their eyes were opened to the truth and they saw their destiny. And they cried out to God for mercy. It doesn't matter. Don't look at anybody else and elevate them above you because they got this job or they got that beauty or they got this going on. David was one who God had called to be king, and everybody, Samuel went and he said, oh, this must be the one because he was tall and handsome and strong. No, 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 no. God takes the weak things of the wise to confound the world in a system. I don't care what goes on out there. I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when you will rule over cities. You understand me? But because you have the mercy and the grace of God in you, and you have that humble heart to receive from God, you're not going to lord it over people because you'll always point to the Master. When you get victories in this life, you'll point to the Master. It's him, not me. It's him. But God is trying to get across to us. There's a way to live this life in victory that the church has lost sight of. because they forgot where they came from. They forgot where they're going. And they forgot who they are. Because they started listening to the news who told you who you are. You started listening to the liar. And trust me when I tell you, he was close. He calls it fake news. But the truth is, it's a lie. What is? All of it. They have a lot of facts. And they don't even always print the true facts. But they got facts. But no knowledge of the God. So they live under the facts. The fact is, fear is what's controlling the news. Hallelujah. We having fun yet? All right, let's go on. You got the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. As the Holy Spirit says, today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, today, if, that's a big word, if, amen? If you will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. You know, today is the day of battle. You understand? Today. When you get up out of bed in the morning and you get your dressed and you're ready to go, trust me, there's the battle already begun. Today, God wants to reveal to you how to have victory that day. Now, when this was first written back in Psalms 95, David said, today. Before that, when they were ready to go into the promised land and they didn't enter in, that was a today. We have a today. You understand? That carries through. What he said was today then, he had it today here, and we've got it today. And tomorrow will be your today. Tuesday will be your today. This is not something you can just set one time and set aside. What did he say in Luke 9? He said, pick up your cross. He said, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily. 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 When they went out to get the manna out of the fields, he said, do it just what you need that day. What is manna? Manna is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus is also the word. So the bread of life is the word of God to your spirit. And you need it daily. If you want to have victory, you cannot just state and wait, well, yesterday was a great day. We had a good day. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is the day of salvation. Today you're going to fight a battle. In everybody's life, there'll be something that's going to cause you to lose victory if you allow it. Today. So every day you've got to look at this thing and say, okay, oh man, that's a lot of work. No. The idea is you're not going to be working. How do I know that? Look what he says. If you will hear his voice, that's a question. If you want to hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. I could preach any one of these lines for a week. Let me go on. And they have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They shall not enter my rest. They shall not enter my rest. Rest is ceasing from work. You shall not enter my rest. I want to look at that in a little bit. But I want to back up. Do not harden your hearts. Hallelujah. Here's what I wrote down. Satan's goal is to bring us into circumstances that will cause us to begin to fear and doubt and eventually bring us into unbelief concerning the faithfulness of our God and His promises. If we fall into fear or doubt and unbelief of our God, then we'll have to take action to save ourselves. What does it take to deny oneself so much that they are willing to lose their life for Christ? We said it would take faith, hope, and love. Now we're looking at faith. True faith in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, His burial in the tomb, and His resurrection and ascension into the glorious presence of our Heavenly Father produces in us a love for Him because He first loved us and gave His life so that we may have His life. And it produces in us a hope because He died and rose again and lives, and we shall be just like Him and live also. And it produces a faith because just as He said He would, just as He said would happen, did happen, we have the faith that His promise to us will also happen just as He said. Amen? So what it has produced in us, remember, faith or hope is for the future. Faith is for now. Faith is for today. 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 And again, we can have a bunch of facts and not operate in faith. Faith produces a desired result which will produce in you a knowledge of the ways of God. Amen? Once you understand the ways of God, and God is a God who does not change, He says, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Once you know the way of God, His ways of operating and what He does and how He does it and why He does it, it'll produce in you a knowledge, because the knowledge will see how He works and see the fruit of His ways. Most of us operate out of hope. I hope He does something. Oh, I hope this works. The Bible says when you stand praying, believe that you have what you ask for, and you shall receive it. So the moment you prayed, you already asked for something. You have what you asked for. You already got it. Well, I don't see it. Why do we say this? Father, open the eyes of our understanding that we would know what is the hope of your call, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance, what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us. Open the eyes of our understanding. What's the eyes of your understanding? It's your heart. Because that's where faith works out of. Faith works out of the heart. It doesn't work out of this up here. This has the facts, and when you take the facts and apply them, it becomes knowledge in the heart, and the ways of God become apparent to you, and you start seeing the victory. So you continue to do it God's way. Is it getting quiet in here, or is it me? The key to a good and godly life, Paul said it, but I'll use a different word, is to learn to be in rest in your life. Paul said there's great gain with contentment. He said, I learned to be content with and without. What was he saying? I learned to rest with and without. Because he knew that when he didn't have it, God was about to provide it. And when God provided it, he knew if he ever needed it again, God would provide it. So he found contentment there. That means he learned to rest. When we truly come to a place and learning how to rest, you'll be like Jesus in the midst of the storm. What was he doing? He was sleeping. The storm was going on all around him, but he was at complete contentment, complete rest. That's awesome when you get there. Right? It's awesome. When all of a sudden, whatever it is, the circumstance happens to come your way, and all of a sudden the battle starts coming at you, and all of a sudden you look at something that happened, and all of a sudden what happens? The first thing that comes, what happens? Fear comes. Amen? Fear comes. What is a fear? Fear comes from not knowing something. Amen? Not knowing something. I don't know what's going to happen. Fear. So when you operate in fear and out of fear, you have no rest. Can't sleep. You're always walking around trying to figure out how to get this changed. What to do? What am I going here? Confusion. Every evil thing comes with fear. Everything. Pretty soon the enemy has the upper hand because you accepted that fear. Let me back up. The Bible says, guard your heart. Matthew 15, Jesus said this, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Listen to this. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They honor me with their lips. Oh, yeah, he's Jesus, he's Lord, yes, yes, yes. But their hearts are far from. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Hallelujah. Guard your heart. How do we know we're getting a hardened heart? How do we know we're getting a hardened heart? This is what I put down. This is mine. You don't have to accept it. The heart is hardened when it no longer responds to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. No longer when the Holy Spirit says to love, you don't love. To forgive, you don't forgive. To bless and not curse, you'd rather curse than bless. To speak life and not death, it's easier to speak death than life when it seems like death is all around you. To share the good news of Jesus Christ, you don't want to do that because other people look at you differently. To do good, not evil, or give good, or give evil for evil. To have faith in God and be fruitful as a servant of the Most High God. There was a scripture that said this. He said, have the mind of Christ. Who considered it wasn't, he didn't consider it wrong to equal be equal with God. But he had a humble spirit. And he took on the form of a servant. I want you to know, the power and the authority and all the riches of God's glory that's available to each and every one of us, the power, the authority that he has given to us should not exalt us up, but it should humble us. It should recognize in us there's something that is so great beyond this worldly system that we're not able even to consider it being us. So how easy is it to get a hardened heart? Hallelujah. What did he say? He said, you shall not enter my rest, because their hearts were hardened and they didn't want to do what God asked them to do. There was rebellion. Their hearts became hardened. Each day, just like it is today, each day as we reject the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, each day we kind of back off a little bit farther. Our hearts become a little bit more hardened. We're no longer subjecting ourselves to God's grace. We're starting to complain and murmur. We're starting to doubt what's happening. Unbelief is starting to creep in. No longer are we living by faith. Now we doubt the faithfulness of God. We doubt that he performed that which he said he would do. We doubt that his promises are for us. And slowly but surely, we back off and back off and back off and back off. Hearts get a little bit harder, and pretty soon we're in a place that you want to be in. So first of all, keep your heart pliable, soft. Keep your heart before God and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Is it your will, Father, that I raise my hands during worship? The Bible says, raise your holy hands. It's very scriptural. We're not saying do something. Is it God's will that I bow myself to him? Yes, it is. It says it in the scriptures. Well, I don't have to do it. No, you don't. And that's the good news. God won't force himself on you at all. He won't force you to go and be part of the community of the believers, of the saints gathering together. He won't force you into that. He'll let you go because he loves you. He gives you that free will choice to do those things. But we're talking about getting into a place where you have victory every single day of your life. Every day. Not just sometimes. Not just once in a while. Not just hope God does something. But you learn the ways of God and all of a sudden you start operating in a victorious way, so greatly that you can't keep your mouth shut about testifying of the goodness of your God and the power of your God. These people saw it. They experienced it. Many others have. Oh, does that mean I'm not going to have battles anymore? Well, you will. Matter of fact, they may increase it for a period of time. There's going to be a test, there's going to be a trial, and there's going to be an attack of the enemy, because if you win the victory, if you get victory and you enter into that rest he's talking about, you're going to find out the enemy doesn't like you. You think you've had it bad before? Oh, I don't think you should confess that. I'm just telling you the truth. I have watched over and over and over as we have stood up and confessed God's faithfulness, and then all of a sudden it goes... We were talking. Listen, I'll tell you. Well, I'm going to say it to you. Amen. Because it is so. You know, I'm going to say it the right way. The enemy is very predictable. He's got nothing new. Amen. He's got no way of doing things. He's very predictable. Amen. We were talking, and we gave a report on the finances of the church. We're praising God, man. Last year we came over, surplus. We had more than our budget had, because we have a faith budget, guys. I mean, we put out a budget and it's by faith. And so when we proclaimed it and stood in front of all everybody and said, "Praise God! Look what the Lord had done." Since then, tithes and offerings have dropped dramatically. That's his way. And if you look at those and you say to yourself, well, God says that you should give your tithes and offerings. We talk about that all the time. Not all the time, but we talk about that. And you say, well, I'm going to start doing that. Then all of a sudden your finances, something happens and you need that money. And what is it? The enemy's going to try to get you. Well, I'm going to get to church every Sunday. He keeps telling me, I'm going to be there Sunday. I'd be there. He's never there. Why? As the enemy does things that cause him just anytime you start saying, okay, I am going to start operating in the ways of God and I'm going to have victory, trust me when I tell you, the enemy hears it. Well, I just won't say it out loud. You've got to say it out loud. You got to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. If you don't, it ain't going to work. Just because you think it. Well, God knows my thoughts. Yeah, he does. He knows all of them. You ought to be afraid of that. You understand? You think your thoughts are perfect and hidden. No. Amen? God knows. God knows the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go on. So know this also, as we see here. It's not just the devil who's working. God is testing. God's testing your heart. Amen? Why? Because he's trying to promote you. When they were ready to go into the promised land, all their needs were met. Everything. They were given houses they did not build, given wells they did not dig. They were given orchards that they did not plant. They were blessed. Not only would they have been blessed inwardly, it says that the enemy, they would have been at peace with all the enemy around them. That was God's plan for them. That was under the old covenant. What do you think his plan for you are in the new covenant? All your needs to be met according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, he said it this way, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you ever hoped or asked for. Whoa. Whoa. Well, I don't see it. See what I told you. If you can't see it, okay, Lord, you want me to say that, I will. He said this, the reason you can't see it is because you never looked at it. They're all in here. Every promise is in here. What do I do? You need, okay, let's pick something. You need a healing. Is it in here? What do we do with it? Joshua, what did he say? Meditate it. One, meditate on it day and night, and you will have success. Not one moment, not for a second, not memorize one scripture. You get a hold of it, and you keep it in the front. That's where and he said, keep it before your eyes always. What they did was, the Israelite, they built what they call phylacteries, which are little boxes on a string. They tied it around their head, and it was right here with scriptures in it they were standing on. And then they put it on their wrist. Why? Because they didn't understand the heart. They just knew that this is what God told them to do. And as long as they obeyed God, God honored that obedience, even if it wasn't the best what God intended for them. But it's because of their disobedience and unbelief, they were not able to enter into God's rest. When you keep this word and meditate on it day and night, and all of a sudden you're doing whatever you're doing, okay, you're at work, you're doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden something pops up. By his stripes you were healed. Where'd that come from? You've been feeding it, meditating on it, taking it in, speaking it out of your mouth, day and night. Well, it interferes with other things I'm doing. Good. It should. Amen? It should. What is important to you is what you go after. We got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ask yourself, how much time do you give to the Word of God if it can change your life? If it can transform your life? From a life of confusion and doubt, fear, and sickness and disease and poverty. God wants you to prosper in every area of your life. God wants you to have a place where you lack nothing. You have a peace and a joy and an abundance. And the abundance isn't just for you to enjoy. And it's good to have that, and you will have that, and you can enjoy that. But it's an abundance where you can share with others. and you see your brother and sister in need, you have the wherewithal to meet their need. You'll find out in the next message, I'm not going to finish it all today, obviously, but you're going to find out how important you are to God to reach others that are in your sphere of influence. Yes. Okay, in a few minutes, okay?
No,
you got to do it now, huh? Okay. We will let Kathy. Do you mind just? Okay. We'll honor God.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't hold it back.
You can't hold it back. Okay.
The Lord said no.
Okay. I will praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, you know our brother's heart. Father God, heal him, Father God, from diabetes, Father God, and whatever else is going on in his body,
thank
Father
you,
God, that isn't of you, Father God.
Receive it.
Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You have no room in here. Get out now and leave. Don't ever come back. Father God, guide
thank
him,
you,
Father
Jesus.
God, what you want him to do, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Guide every inch, Father God. Father God, he loves you so much, Father God. And thank you, Father God, for our brother, Father God. And that we could trust in him, Father God, through you, Father God. Thank you,
Jesus.
Father God, for everything that you're doing in his life, Father God, and his family's life, Father God, in Jesus'
you,
name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kathy. Amen. Thank you for your obedience. Amen. Amen. Receive it, Lord. Thank you all. Thank you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We have a room full of Gideons here. And in the time of Gideon, the enemy had come and just destroyed the nation of Israel, stole all the crops. Every time the crops would come up to be ready to be harvested, they would come and take it all. They'd take their animals and so on. And Gideon was at his father's wine press, and he was taking the wheat that he had and the crops, and he was milling it right in there in a hidden place so the enemy couldn't see it. And the man of God came up to him and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." And Gideon didn't understand what you're talking about. Now, I mean, he's hiding away from the enemy. He's hiding there. And he didn't know, you know, what are you talking about, mighty man of valor? Here I am afraid. And then he goes on and he said, if God's going to do all these wonderful things, as the angel described to him, he said, we haven't seen these things. Our father's seen them, but we haven't seen them. When are we going to see these things? See, God was revealing something that was in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. Before we're done here, you're going to find things in you that you can't see. The enemy's lied to you for so many years. He's oppressed you and sat you down, and you just thought, well, this is normal. This is the way life is. No, it isn't. It's a life you used to live that way. But there's a life that God intends for you to live this time. I was thinking, I was praying to the Lord the other day, and I was thinking to myself, I do this with him, and I realized something. That like Paul went through a lot of things, and I'm not like Paul, trust me. I'm not mean that, but I was looking at him, and he said his life was beaten up, and I mean he was just being decimated. You know, he got thrown off walls, he was being stoned, he's being whipped, all these things were happening to Paul. But he said something. He said, but God delivered me out of them all. There was a time when it was time for Paul to go home. And trust me, when it's time to go home for a Christian, that is a time of celebration. It is a time of, what do you call it, when you, graduation, I guess I would call it. You're graduating. Trust me when I tell you, you are not going, if you're a true Christian, you're not going someplace that you don't want to be. It is a time when God invites you into his kingdom. You're going to see things and know things that we will never have down here. Never understand it. But your reward is that you're going to be able to see it, and you're going to experience it, and you're going to be part of it for all eternity. But I was sitting and thinking about it, And the Lord showed me, and I believe it was the Lord, he said, the enemy can't take me out until God's done with me. Then I'm going home because it's my reward to go home. You understand? I'm not going home out because the enemy killed me or any of that stuff. That's nonsense. He couldn't kill me with cancer. He couldn't kill me with a heart attack. He's not going to kill me with diabetes. There's no way. He can't do it. Out of all of that, God delivered me out of all of it. Only by the grace of God. I was in the back of that ambulance when I had that heart attack and I died. And the EMT said to me, I said, how many people you have ever had in your ambulance like that? He said, about 33. They had a heart attack and died. He said, you're the only one that came back. Not because of me. Not because I'm something. God isn't done yet. Amen? For you. God isn't done with you yet. That's why you're still here. Otherwise, he would have taken you home. And that's not a bad thing. So you're going to learn to rest in the circumstance, in the battles that's going on around you, all the storm. You're going to be able to lay down and have a good night's sleep. Because fear keeps you awake at night. I know that. Been there, done that. But when you're at rest in Christ, you will find such a peace, such a joy. And I'm going to tell you what. When you find this, it'll be like a weight taken off you. You're going to feel free like you've never felt free before. You watch. There's some things coming. We're going to be praying for people. God is going to be moving. He's going to lift weights off you. He's going to set you free. You're going to understand what true freedom is. And when that evil thing tries to come back on you, you'll stand up and say, I know who I am. I came out of that. I'm not going back into it. I know where I'm going. I'm going to get in the boat with Jesus, lay my head on the pillow, and go to sleep and enjoy the ride. And if he tells me to calm the storm, I'll stand up and declare it. I'll speak to it, and I'll command it. You're not just a church. You're the people of God. You're the people of God, filled with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Learn who you are. Be at peace. Be at rest. It comes through knowledge when you apply the facts that you're going to learn. And you'll know the ways of God. And in the midst of everything, you won't be afraid because you know who's with you. My God's with me. I don't have to be afraid. If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen? But we're going to live our life as Christ intended us to live life. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. We praise you. We give you glory. Father, we thank you that we are the children of the living God. We are filled with the Spirit of God. We have the power of God, Father, available to us in the powerful name of Jesus. We pray, Father, this week that as those go about their lives, Father, that your life would be filling in all the gaps, in all the areas where they thought that it was impossible, you make possible. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.